All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, Brett Ehrlich. What is this? What's up, Brett?
It's great.
And Anik Kasparian. Hey, Brett, nice job on the Game of Thrones review last night.
Thank you.
Wasn't that amazeballs?
Oh, so good. The thing is like there's a lot of dark scenes and we were watching it here with the backlight on. So I had to stand up to see a lot of the scenes. So it was just shots of my crotch.
I noticed that.
Sorry, I found
that alluring. Because I was watching from home.
I heard you enjoyed it and then went on Facebook Live to do your own thing.
Yeah, yeah. We broke records there on Facebook.com/whattheflick for that channel. We had you should go subscribe to that channel, but we had like 92,000 people watching that live.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so God bless, God bless. Yeah. All right, let me give you a couple of tweets here. Jimmy Brandon says, Philando Castile was shot and killed for just saying he had a gun. This man, the KKK guy in the rally, openly shot into a crowd at a black man. One side guy gets killed, the other side they don't even investigate in the beginning. And if you notice, there was a guy in the crowd going, he just shot at someone, he just shot at someone.
Yeah.
And still there's no action. Gabby asks, is there anyone in the Trump administration that he gets along with anymore? He's burned nearly every bridge with them and Congress. Let's hope to God that that catches up with him. All right, Brett has an important correction on a story I bungled. No, I'm kidding, go ahead.
So there's an update, there has been more information that has come out. Reported last week, I believe it was, that Joshua Witt, who you can see here in this photo, who made a complaint that he was stabbed because someone in the place where he was, his story was that they went up to him and told him he was looked like a Nazi and so they stabbed him. You may have seen the graphic photo that he uploaded of himself. We're gonna go with a quote. Okay, so there he is, Joshua Witt. Next is the graphic photo that he showed. Lols, apparently I look like a neo-Nazi, so I get stabbed at. Now, that is his photo. According to a report, Witt had originally said that on August 16, he was exiting his car outside a Steak and Shake restaurant when someone approached him and asked if he was a neo-Nazi and went to stab him. He claimed he was slashed on the hand when shielding himself and the suspect ran away. Now, the police found some problems with his stories. They found someone that fit the description of his quote assailant, but they had doubts that that was actually someone who participated in any incident. They also couldn't find video of the incident he mentioned. However, according to the report, police turned up video from a nearby sporting goods store, which depicted Witt buying a knife. Officials said investigators asked him about this on Thursday, and he admitted that he cut himself by mistake while in his parked car in front of the store, the statement said. So there you go, there's your update.
I don't understand how he cut himself in a parked car. Like he wasn't chopping onions or something.
Yeah, no, no. So first of all, let me just say that I reported on this story when I probably should not have. So my bad there, guys, and I want to let you know. And the reason I say that is I was reporting what others were reporting, and I believe let me leave out the name of the publication that we mainly relied on there, but. That's what the police reports were, so it's not their fault, it's not necessarily my fault. Except for the fact that in the production meeting, we did have a discussion about this story, and some of the other folks in the meeting said, this doesn't look right, right? Let's hold off on this. But one of the reasons I did it is because I don't, if it was really a leftist who was attacking a guy because he thought he looked like a Nazi, I don't want to downplay leftist violence. And there's some today from Antifa at Berkeley. Mm-hmm. And it drives me crazy, and it is just as morally repugnant. Yes, the other side, it has fascists and Nazis. That doesn't mean we should sink to their level. It means we should fight back with every ounce of our energy politically and morally in every way, shape, and possible. And I'm not one to go soft, but violence is a terrible idea. It's a moral idea, it's counterproductive. That's why I covered that story when it appeared that it was someone who was attacking someone who's right wing. But the rest of the team was right that there was something fishy about that story. And every once in a while, and in this case, it wasn't covered by right wing sites. It was covered by mainstream news sites, okay? But every once in a while, the right wing will get a story and they'll go nuts over it. Oh, well, how come the press isn't covering this? And this is amazing, and this is outrageous. And then you'll find out, no, it was not at all. And so in this case, I think it's just one particular dude who was looking for attention. Look, we don't know with 100% certainty. We know the facts that Brett just gave you. But like Anna said, it doesn't look like he was chopping onions in his car. He went and bought a knife right beforehand, that we do know. Mm-hmm. It seems like he cut himself to get attention.
Well, there's multiple ways to interpret the events. One is that he went and was like, oh, before I get my steak and shake, let's make up a crazy story and play it out. So he goes and he gets it, cuts his hand, does the photo, and it's a nefarious thing. The other one is he accidentally cut himself, and then afterwards he posts this funny this thing he thought was funny, like now I'm a Nazi, but then he runs with it. Either way, I think the takeaway is violence isn't good. Mm-hmm. And whether this was the right story to report on or not, or it was reported too early or too late, I think the concern that violence undercuts any claims towards some kind of moral authority is worth bringing up.
Right.
It's unfortunate that the facts of the case change from one day to another, but I think the priority being making sure that violence isn't something that we do because you lose authority after it is a good point to make.
Absolutely, I agree. And it's also an injustice that Steak and Shake doesn't exist in Los Angeles.
It does, it will, soon.
Oh, awesome.
Steak and Shake, there's one in Torrance. There's also going to be one pretty soon at the Los Angeles International Airport.
Hmm. Awesome.
So you don't have to cut yourself to get it.
You have to fly out of Terminal 3, I believe it is.
Yeah. But one other reason why that it was in the news and maybe that put it into this guy's head and made me cover the story was because we just done the story about how Macklemore had a quote unquote Nazi haircut. That's
right.
What people were accusing him of. He had no intention of cutting his hair that way. And by the way, ever since we did that story, I'm looking around in the streets. A lot of people have the same exact haircut. I don't think that's a Nazi haircut. That's what I was saying at the time. And Macklemore had changed his haircut anyway. So this. Bring it down with the Nazi haircut nonsense, okay?
Yeah.
You know how you can tell somebody's a Nazi? If they're wearing or have a tattoo of a swastika, okay? Otherwise, don't make assumptions. And in the case of Joshua Witt, don't do any self-violence either and be a jackass and try to get attention because sometimes the cops do good work. They find out and then you go to jail.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna move on to a different story. There is an image floating around that has kind of come to define people learning about the Houston hurricane, Hurricane Harvey. Here it is. This is a photo you may have seen. It's people at La Vida Bella Assisted Living Center in Dickinson, Tennessee. And in case you can't see it there is water covering everything. And there are senior citizens sitting in water. If you're wondering how it came to be, what it is of that senior center run by Timothy McIntosh's mother. He received that photo from her and then didn't hear anything from her after that, according to Time Magazine. And then following that, he tweeted it and there were thousands of people who retweeted it. And within a very short time, thankfully, folks came to the aid. According to the report in Time, emergency officials rescued 18 people, including 15 nursing home residents. From La Vida Bella Sunday afternoon, Dickinson Emergency Management Coordinator David Popoff told the Galveston County Daily News, "We were airlifting grandmothers and grandfathers," Popoff told the Daily News, and the McIntoshes reached out to, you know, tell people they were grateful for the show of support, saying, "We were very fortunate and are thankful for all the retweets, media contacts, and especially the promptness of Galveston Emergency Services, along with the National Guard. Altogether, they saved many lives today." Very touching story.
You know, I oftentimes complain about how terrible Twitter is and how, you know, detrimental social media can be. But here's one of the few cases where, you know, it literally saved lives. And looking at that photo, I mean, if you really focus on every single person for a minute in that photo, it's kind of amazing because it almost seems as though they're just living their lives and they're not like submerged in water, almost completely submerged in water. And I'm so happy that people stepped up and did something about this. I'm glad that the photo went viral and that no one died as a result of that flood in that assistance living center. It's just, oh my God, it's terrifying to me to think of family members who might be in that condition and might not get the help that they need to survive.
So look, we do commentary on these stories, so I'm gonna do commentary. So I need you to calm down, okay? It is going to be somewhat political. And so the issue is government. because there's talking points from the right that government is always bad. Big government is bad by definition. And my counter to that is, well, doesn't it depend? What is the government doing? If the government is invading a country that didn't invade us, you're right, big government is terrible. If it's getting inside our uterus, you're right, it's horrific. It shouldn't get between us and our doctor. Sometimes conservatives don't agree with that. But if it's going to the rescue of these poor women and other people in that assisted living center, it's wonderful. So it's not to say that that proves that government is great on everything. No, we're not as black and white as the right wing. We're not as simplistic as the right wing. It depends. Sometimes government does wonderful things. Sometimes it does horrific things. So let's use our mind and our judgment to figure out which is which. If we had had more government action, maybe we wouldn't have had as much climate change and this storms would not have been as severe and they wouldn't have been in this mess in the first place. If we had followed through on some of the regulations that Obama put into place to prevent further flooding in cities like Houston, maybe the flooding wouldn't have been as bad. So, and certainly, I hope we can all agree that rescuing people in need is a core government job. So, and look, on the other hand, for Democrats who sometimes make the same mistake and go, no, government's always great. No, when the politicians are legally bribed by their donors, it's not great. So let's use our minds and our judgment to figure out how much government we need. And in this case, thank God somebody showed up.
Yeah, these are the weirdest feelings to go through because you see such devastation across the board. Houston is, I mean, that's one of my greatest fears, is a flat space in a flood. Oh, and Houston is a flood prone district, bayous, ditches, and it is there. I mean, Elle, one of our editors, is from Houston, showed me a photo today of a giant freeway that looked like a river. Mm-hmm. And it looked like a river because there was a little bridge about this high over the water, and it looked like you could take a nice little walk over the river. No, that was a freeway, and that bridge is supposed to be tall enough so you could drive a semi truck underneath it. It is terrifying.
Right.
And then you see these grandparents who are in an assisted living center that they themselves need assistance. It was great to see that they got out of there, but I mean that's a nightmare to me.
So I wanted to make this point when we did the original story about the hurricane, but I didn't get an opportunity, so I wanted to make that point now. Look, there's also an issue of how infrastructure is built in the Houston area. There's this great writer for the Houston Chronicle. His name escapes me at the moment, but he talked about how right now there is overdevelopment in the Houston area, which is flood prone, that unfortunately makes floods worse. And the reason why is because there are, you know, grassy areas, prairies, things like that, that are better at absorbing the water. And now there's so much overdevelopment, people are building concrete over it. And obviously concrete doesn't absorb the water. And so it makes the flooding worse. And so instead of addressing that, there are lawmakers in the state that continue to deregulate certain zoning laws that lead to this kind of situation getting worse. And so it's something that everyone should keep in mind. It's not climate change is, you know, exacerbating the issue, absolutely. You know, the unwillingness to build infrastructure that could, you know, withstand this type of flooding is a problem. And then this type of infrastructure that actually makes the flooding worse is a problem. So
I remember when Inconvenient Truth came out over a decade ago, and they showed the possibility that some major American cities would be underwater, and conservatives laughed, like, that's ridiculous, they're not gonna be underwater. Al Gore, you're nuts. Well, one of them was particularly about the World Trade Center, and in an Inconvenient sequel that just came out, they showed in one particular flood, the World Trade Center memorial was underwater. Mm-hmm. Now Houston, the fourth largest city in the country, underwater. And it's happened to time and time again in New Orleans, Louisiana, there was the biggest flood they'd ever seen last year. This is now being called a 500-year flood. I'm getting to think it doesn't happen every 500 years. It happens very, very often and repeatedly because the storms are getting worse because of climate change. It turns out the scientists were right all along. Big surprise.
All right, let's move on. Taylor Swift. Does everyone feel okay with that?
I feel like we should take a break before Taylor Swift.
That's a good thing, because everyone needs a quick rest to gird up their loins for analyzing the Taylor Swift video, because it might be the single most in-depth highly image laden video of our time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's got controversy, and actually it's one of my favorite stories today.
So yes.
Let's come back and tell you what the controversy is, and it has a little bit of a political angle to it too. And is she guilty or not guilty? We'll explain. All right, back on the Young Turks, Benjamin Brett and Jimmy Rivera are our members of the day. TYTnetwork.com/join to join us, become a member. Today in the post game, I'm gonna tell you about my fun, wild, crazy weekend in New Jersey, where we drafted our teams. But really, it's a story about America and my love for this country. Okay, so we'll discuss that in the post game. I do have a couple updates for you guys real quick. Okay. So I actually wanted to, we did two stories earlier in the day that I've decided we need petitions on. So I want you guys to help us on this, okay? So in the case of Hurricane Harvey, I want people to be helped, but I mean people, I don't mean corporations. I certainly don't mean the oil companies that already have all these subsidies and caused the mess in the first place. So we're doing a petition on the Young Turks. What it says is no federal or local assistance should be given to oil companies to recover from Hurricane Harvey. So that is TYTnetwork.com/Harvey. So I guarantee you that after everything settles down, ExxonMobil and all the other guys with their oil refineries are gonna say, well, my oil refineries were hurt. No, your oil refineries are the ones that caused this problem in the first place. We've already paid for all of your mess and the whole world pays for it. It's about time that you bear some of the costs that you created in the first place. So not a single dollar to those oil companies that caused that mess. Sign that petition and make it incredibly powerful, incredibly clear to every legislator. We don't want our taxpayer dollars going to help those oil companies. We want it to help actual American citizens. All right, now the other issue was the one of the pardons, okay? So I want everybody to be clear on this, so we're doing a petition. I think that Sheriff Joe Arpaio being pardoned was outrageous, but if Donald Trump starts to pardon his own campaign officials and administration officials, that is clear obstruction of justice and he should immediately be impeached. TYTnetwork.com/pardon is the website here in the link, and we'll have the link down below. If Donald Trump pardons anyone from his campaign or administration involved in the Russia investigation, he should be impeached immediately. So we're not saying impeach right now. I'm being very clear about it. But if the lawlessness that he demonstrated with Arpaio and letting him ignore court orders is now brought over to his own administration, then we do have an impeachable offense. Not that he can't do pardons, but that he is clearly obstructing justice and saying, anyone who is being investigated should not work with the FBI, should not work with the courts, and I'll pardon them later. We can't have that kind of lawlessness in America. We need petitions like this to be gigantic, so you make it clear to Republicans and Democrats alike, do not tolerate him actually pardoning his own team. If he does that, that should be grounds for impeachment. Okay, now let's go on to Taylor Swift.
Finally, something important. All right, Taylor Swift just released the music video for her song, Look What You Made Me Do, and it's garnering its fair share of controversy, not just in the normal, you know, musician circles, but also in the larger discussion in one instance of domestic violence. But let's first take a look at some stills from that video. It is first, starts in a graveyard and there's a lot of little images nested. This one's Nils Sjoberg. That is the alias that she used when writing a song for Rihanna and Calvin Harris. It was at the center of the reason that she and Calvin broke up. And so that's in there. She is laying the basis for all the injustices done to her. Next to her in this bed of jewels later is $1 bill. That it symbolizes the $1 that she won in the civil case against the DJ who touched her butt and sued her for millions and millions of dollars, but instead she won the case against him in the countersuit for $1. Then it gets a little, there's a little violent imagery. There's a line that says, the gun was mine. You said the gun was mine, saying essentially someone framed her for something she didn't do, but there's fire coming out of her fingers. Moving on. Following the dust up with Kanye and Kim, a lot of Kanye and Kim fans called Taylor a snake. So she is surrounded by snakes who are serving her tea. Tea, which is a metaphor for gossip, ladies. Later on, this is Streamco, which she robs the vault of violently with a baseball bat. And since she's been called the cat lady, she's surrounded by people wearing, those people who are now not wearing cat masks were at one point wearing cat masks. This, she's talking how she was kind of vilified in the for being a money-grubbing maniac by some when she wrote an open letter to Apple telling them to pay artists instead of not pay artists during the three-month trial period ahead of the Apple Music launch. There she's mad. She doesn't like that. She's pointing a baseball bat at you. This is Todrick Hall, friend of Pop Trigger. He was in the video. He is wearing an I Heart Taylor Swift shirt, which was worn by Tom Hiddleston, her ex-boyfriend. This kind of setting up all the reasons that she has been victimized in the past. And she continues, you'll see another image, her on top of all the images of Taylor Swift. It's a mountain of Taylor Swifts. You'll see from a different angle, her looking down at other incarnations of Taylor in the past, from the guitar-wielding country music sweet star who cried a lot to various other, like the Red album era.
I thought you were gonna say Red Wedding.
The Red Wedding.
This is almost like a Red Wedding of herself. Because she's killing all the old Taylor Swifts.
Yep.
And so it's fascinating imagery. It's in some ways got more symbolism than Game of Thrones. The pearls are a reference to her being criticized for liking pearls too much. So she's both going after her opponents in the media and the music industry, but also saying she's done with being the timid self that she used to be in some portions of her career. So it's very interesting. But since she's saying, look what you made me do, that's also leading to calls for saying that this video is encouraging domestic violence. Because that's what a lot of abusers say, look what you made me do.
Right, we have a tweet that we can throw up real quick from Justina Ireland. Her exact words are, look what you made me do is the exact phrase my dad uttered every time he would knock the shit out of me. Just not a good look.
Okay, now the song is not about domestic violence. It has to do with going after her enemies. In fact, if you read the whole song, which I did, I'm such a nerd, I didn't listen to the song, I read the song. Okay, it sounds like Arya Stark is singing it. Okay, like literally, it's like almost everything you could put into Arya Stark, like I'm going after my enemies, I'm gonna get you one by one, I've got you on a list. I'm like, okay. So I'm curious what you guys think, because so the people who are saying, look, this happened to me, the domestic violence, and this is what they say. And it's not just anecdotal. Some people who take care of domestic violence victims say this is the most common phrase that they hear.
Right.
So I've got my thoughts on it, but what do you think, Anna?
So I don't love the title of the song. I think she could have gone in a different direction. And I hate that phrase. And it's funny because even before I knew that she was getting criticism for promoting, supposedly promoting domestic violence. When I heard the title of the song, I'm like, that's like something someone would say, you know, right before or after they're about to abuse someone. So I didn't like the title. With that said, based on the imagery that you showed us, Brett, I don't feel like the imagery promotes violence. You know, maybe her doing the gun gesture with her hand can you know make that argument. But that was really the only thing I saw. What annoys me more than anything about this whole situation and the music video is this isn't anything new. Okay, this is usually what young pop stars do when they first have a squeaky clean, like I'm a really good girl, like image. And then all of a sudden they grow up just a little bit and they're like, I'm so bad and edgy. I'm so bad, look at how bad I am. I'm gonna get you. Like that, it's so played out. I know, Taylor, I know. You're very edgy, you're very upset, you're gonna come after your enemies, blah, 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 blah. It's just boring. That's more than anything, that's what I get out of it.
Huh, fascinating, I didn't see that coming. I have a totally different opinion, but Brett.
I think Taylor is such a fascinating figure. She has done so many things incredibly well. The open letter to Apple, open Apple is an old button on the Apple keyboard that doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. But the open letter to Apple, according to Time, saved Apple Music. She called them out because they said there's going to be a free 30-day trial or 3-month trial for folks who sign up for Apple Music. And Taylor wrote an open letter saying, so you're going to pay everybody, right? You're going to pay all the artists for that 3-month trial, because according to my research, you're not going to pay them any money. And so through that, there was able to be a dialogue where small artists who are on Apple Music would get paid, albeit a reduced rate, for their music that is listened to on Apple. So she has done a lot of things, and she's been a very wily businesswoman.
I like that she went after the guy who, you know, decided to sue her after he grabbed her butt. And then, you know, complained that he lost his job as a result of that. I'm glad, I love the way that she, you know, handled that situation. So I'm not saying she's all bad. She's just annoying sometimes when she does her standard pop star BS, and it gets under my skin.
So look, in terms of Taylor, let me quickly just go through that. I care more about the larger issue. Look, she's definitely a savvy marketing person, and so she's coming out with this video. She sues the guy before this video comes out. Hey, look, I'm standing up for other women. So now this video comes out. Come on, I've got some street cred, right? With Kanye, they have that beef back and forth where Kanye did play the tape of her giving permission to talk about him in the song, because she knows that's going to generate more controversy. But then Kanye puts in about how he might sleep with her, which they didn't agree to. Blah, 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 blah. But all it does is get her more and more hype and marketing, and that's how the music industry works. And I'm with you, Anna. It reminds me of the McGregor-Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
Super annoyed by all that pre-fight, like, oh, we hate each other. We're going to say this about, oh, you're a bitch. No, you're a bitch, and all this stuff. And after the fight, they hug, and they're like, oh, that's good sportsmanship. Partly they were just faking it to get more money from you earlier, pretending to be angry at each other with God knows, you know. So much of this is fake, it's so annoying. Having said that, I think the more interesting part is the people who went through domestic violence getting quote unquote triggered by that. This is where people would go, oh yeah, you're soft. Well, they went through domestic violence, they're not soft. And so for them, their reaction is perfectly normal and understandable. On the other hand, I don't think that there's anything wrong with the song. So I'm not sure how to resolve that. Mm-hmm. So she's not talking about domestic violence. She doesn't mean to trigger people who've had a bad experience with that. Mm-hmm. And we're holding her to a double standard, because Dr. Dre has a song about look at what you made me do. Almost exactly the same thing from the Chronic album, right? You went and turned me back into the old me. Mm-hmm. And how he went back and was gangster. And he has a lot more in that song than a finger with fire coming out of it.
I know. But I mean, look, first of all, rappers like Dr. Dre have been criticized for their lyrics and for promoting violence and the way that they treat women. It's not like they've been treated with kid gloves, you know.
Fair.
So and so while the lyrics are fine, it's weird because the song is about, you know, getting revenge on people who have wronged her. Like, getting revenge how? You know what I'm saying? Like that, when you're using baseball bats and you're doing like gun gestures with your hand, that does trigger people. So I get it. I get the people that
Yeah, I hear you. But first of all, I had no problem with the bat, no problem with the fingers. She had like a knife that she was wielding somewhere.
Different video.
Yeah.
And she also blew people up in a different, Bad Blood has tons of explosions. It looks like a Michael Bay film.
But when Joe Pesci uses a bat in Goodfellas or a phone or whatever he's beating with people with, we don't go, oh, he's sending the wrong message, because that's a male and he's supposed to, and it's a cool gangster movie or et cetera. But Dr. Dre does get the criticism, you're right about that. And now Taylor gets the criticism, so.
Right.
Yeah, look, so if you pretend like you're gonna be a bad girl, then you're gonna get criticism for being a bad girl. It just comes along with the territory.
This was such a well thought out video with so many images in it, and we went through them all, and it's fantastic to watch and really like intellectually engaging to unpack. That said, the premise of look what you made me do is one where you're giving up responsibility and pinning it on someone else, and that's a weak position. Mm. Because if it's your decision, you need to come at it from a different reason. It's like, I'm out for justice. that there are lines in this that's like, I got mine and now you'll get yours, which is more of a like, if you did something wrong, something bad's gonna happen to you. But she has another line later where she says, I'll play the actress in your bad dreams or something like that. And that is more like she's moving toward the role of the villain more than she's actually going to do things that make her a villain. So I think it's more complicated than that, but I do think on its face, look what you made me do is a weak rhetorical position for anyone who's making a large statement.
Every one of you has made excellent points.
Yes.
I now have a ruling.
Bring it.
Okay, not guilty.
Yeah.
So all the, it's fake, it's rhetorically bad. It does, we do feel bad for the people that it affects negatively. But 1,000 pieces of entertainment, and this is entertainment, have talked about revenge and getting justice. And I could see Anna Kasparian make a video about what now.
I know, but that's, right? Look, I think the difference there is that's who I am. And I've been that person from day one, right? I didn't start
this
show.
I didn't start this
show
Casper.
Like showing up with like my like ruffly white dress and like blonde hair. Like, I'm a good girl. I'm such a good girl. And then all of a sudden I show up and I'm like, I'm bad. I'm gonna get you all. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just comes off as so incredibly fake. Like, just be genuine and authentic.
She's been in this since she was just a kid.
I know.
Anna.
So have I, by the way.
Since you were a baby?
Since I was 20.
She was 15 or something.
She was 16.
But you know, it's possible. No, you're definitely right about the fakeness, but it is also possible that she got pissed at having constantly being attacked in the media because she's a well-known celebrity, and that we feel her pain on. So nonetheless, these are great, great points.
Yeah.
You might have not heard me earlier. I ruled not guilty.
Okay, well, that's all that matters. Yeah. Okay. That's all that matters. All
right. She does undercut herself. She does make fun of herself quite a bit in the video too. Okay, let me go past my pages and pages of notes on my in-depth analysis, which will later serve as my PhD dissertation. Okay, how'd you watch the eclipse? Did you wear some special goggles? Did you do what I did and took every pair of sunglasses and put them in a row, hoping that that would reduce it enough because you didn't have the special goggles? Or did you stare at it like President Trump? Well, some people did stuff that's even dumber than that. According to Trish Patterson at Prestige Urgent Medical Care, in San Francisco's Bay Area, she said, one of my colleagues at Moonlight here stated yesterday that they had, stated yesterday that they had patients presenting at their clinic that put sunscreen on their eyeball and presented that they were having pain and they were referred to an ophthalmologist. They put sunscreen on their eyeball. Is this the worst way to watch the eclipse?
Has anyone ever experienced sunscreen sweating into their eyeball?
Yes.
It is one of the worst feelings, and it takes forever for that burning sensation to go away, even after you wash your face with cold water. Why are people so stupid? It's painful to know that there are people that stupid.
What if it says SPF? I'm gonna go with 50 in my eyeballs.
Okay. I don't even know how you do that. Like, you're really gonna keep your eyes open and put the sunscreen in there? But to be fair to them, the news kept saying, make sure you use protection when you're looking at the sun.
Or so I pulled my eyeballs out and put condoms around them. I definitely took birth control drops.
And to be fair to them, they are not blind now. So.
I love it. There was Joey Badass as a rapper who had to cancel his some of his shows because apparently he stared at the sun too long. That was the story, whether it's a rumor or not. He definitely canceled him, and everyone was saying because he stared at the sun too much.
No, it's true. And he's now calling himself Joey Bad Eyes.
I thought you were gonna go with Joey Dumbass. Oh my God, is that the worst way to watch the eclipse? I believe it is. We just thought that, also really quickly, Nerd Alert, check it out. They all went down to, they went to Oregon to watch the eclipse. And so on Nerd Alert's channel, if you subscribe to them, you can see a bunch of clips that they put together of what the experience was really like. And I think that's really cool, so good for them.
YouTube.com/Nerd Alert. Okay, what's next?
All right, China has put the kibosh on anonymous comments on the internet. Mashable reports, according to the Cyberspace Administration of China, sites like social networks and discussion forums will have to verify the real identities of registered users before they can be allowed to post anything on their platforms. Comments on news stories will also have to be reviewed by the website Jihu, I don't know how to say that, and a Quora-like discussion site has already started asking users to verify their identities with their mobile numbers, which are linked to people's identity cards. So China has made a lot of moves recently to cut down on anonymous posting and means by which people typically get around the already stringent checks that the government has on internet traffic. So what do you think?
So this is a tough one because I generally encourage people to use their real identity, and I have a proposal here for Twitter in America. But when the Chinese government does it, it takes on a different tinge. Because if you're criticizing the government, they definitely want to be able to track you. So that's why I don't want to go all the way and say that it should not be allowed for any platform as China is doing. I think that's wrong. So I think here in America, Twitter has a massive problem where you know, you got the eggs and you don't, nobody knows who's real and who's not real. Now you have, they go through extra effort to do the verified accounts. That's the little blue check that you see. And people think, oh, that means they're a celebrity. It actually means, no, they made sure that was an actual human being, right? But I think there should be a middle ground where you do a green check, which is at least this guy connected it to his Facebook account or any other account that gives you a sense of that he might be real. And I'm not saying get rid of anonymous comments on Twitter, God forbid. I'm just saying, give us one more layer so we have a better sense of who's who. Some people, I propose that on Twitter, and they're like, oh my God, be Maoist, Islamist. Right? I'm like, no, you're allowed to make any comment. You're allowed to make it anonymous. You're allowed to make it hateful. You're allowed to do all the horrific things you want to do. I'm just saying that if you create a second layer, it gives some people confidence. Oh, at least this person is a real person who hates me.
And not a bot, right? Because there are bots that political campaigns will roll out in order to help them spread whatever they want to spread.
And Democrats use bots too.
Yeah,
Correct
they do.
Correct
they
uses
do.
Bots.
So I think that's an interesting proposal, but obviously keep in mind, China's not doing it for that purpose. They're doing it because they don't like people who criticize the government. They don't even like people who want to investigate factories in China. There were some journalists or some investigators looking into factories that had been contracted with Ivanka Trump's company, and some of them just got detained. Some of them went missing. And so that's something to keep in mind when stories like this come out. It's not really about, you know, making sure people identify themselves to prove that they're real.
There you go. That's all the time we have on today's show.
Yeah, that is in fact absolutely right. All right, so tytnetwork.com/join to hear the postgame. Plus at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, I'm going to be interviewing a person who used to work at Breitbart. Ooh, drums. And for Daryl Issa, a notorious Republican. We'll see you guys there.
Bye.